Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. If you would, you can turn in your Bible to Psalm, the 103rd chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to begin our study of this passage of Scripture. We're not going to make it all the way through it tonight. We'll begin to cover it in the coming weeks, but I want to start with verse 1 tonight, Psalm chapter 103. The Lord put this passage on my heart last week, and as I began to meditate on it, and He began to speak to me regarding its contents, I felt like this is where He has us to camp out over the next few weeks on Wednesday nights and study these five verses out. And so let's read Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. David is writing, and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Let's pray. Father, we've spoken to you many times already this evening, but I thank you that you never tire of hearing from your children. You never turn a deaf ear when we call upon you in a moment of need. And I thank you that by the work of the cross, we can come boldly before your throne of grace to find help in our time of trouble. And Lord, I thank you that the prayers of the saints, they avail much. And so, Lord, I pray that as we lift up our voice to you tonight, whether it be in regards to praying for Israel, praying for this body, or just asking for you to come and be with us, I thank you that you hear us and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So we look to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 103 is probably some of your favorite passages of Scripture. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's one that we quote quite often. It's one that we lean upon and look to and that we know and we're quite familiar with. But it's a psalm of David. And it's important to me, I think I've shared this with you before, to know who wrote which psalm, because that helps us with context. And David was a man who was described as a man after God's own heart. I don't know that there's a greater compliment that anyone could ever receive. You know, it's one thing to be told you're talented, you're handsome, you're charming, you're kind. All those things are great. But could anything ever really top if someone looked at you and you said, "Jeff, you're a man after God's own heart"? I think that's the greatest compliment that we could be paid. And I think that that's why David receives much due recognition and honor, is we know David was flawed. We know that he made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. He committed adultery, he committed murder, he took an account of the people, even though God had instructed through the law of Moses that he shouldn't do that. Pride was lifted up in his heart. He wanted to know how many people he had in his kingdom. He made many mistakes. He had many things that were not right. But at the end of the day, we know that God looks at the heart. Man judges by the outward appearance. So we look at the outward appearance and we look at the failures. We look at the things that were not great about David, and rightfully so there were. But in his heart, he always repented. In his heart, he always came back to God. And so he was a man after God's own heart. And I believe that he was a man after God's own heart because of psalms like this, where David commanded his soul to bless the Lord. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That means my entire being, my spirit, my soul, my body, bless the Lord. Regardless of what was happening around David in his life, and he had a very tumultuous life, even though he got to great heights as being the king of Israel, and he was the greatest king of his time, and everything in the kingdom after him was measured by David. He was the greatest king that Israel ever knew. But he still had difficult moments. He still had difficult seasons. Through his adultery with Bathsheba and the child that was conceived, they lost that child. And trust me, even though he may have been a king and even though it may have been wrong, the Bible tells us he had grief. He had sorrow. He laid on the floor and he fasted and he wept. He felt pain. He had moments where he was being chased like a common criminal by Saul, even though he'd done nothing wrong. He never even lifted his hand against the Lord's anointed. He wouldn't do anything to come against him, but yet he still had difficult seasons. And no matter what was coming against David, he made the decision, I will bless the Lord all the time. If I'm in the palace and everything's going good, if I'm in a cave and I'm being hunted like a dog, I'll still bless God. Whether he just lost a child or whether he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, whenever we see David, worship is involved. Praise and worship. Whether he was in the field all by himself with just a bunch of sheep, or he was in the middle of the presence of God and when in the throng of people, he was praising. In fact, it was David that wrote in Psalm chapter 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, how often? Continually be upon my mouth. That was written from a cave. The Bible literally tells us he'd been chased by Saul. He'd run to the Philistines. The Philistines got scared of him. They rejected him. He had to pretend like he was crazy and let spit run down into his beard. And he had to retreat to this cave. And from that cave, looking out over a valley, he said, I'll bless God all the time. So he didn't wait until God placed him into a place of honor in order to honor God. And sometimes that's what we do. We wait until God brings us into the victory to give him the praise. But David praised him regardless. He praised him at all times and all seasons because he realized that worship is based upon who God is, not where I am. And so in Psalm 103, we have a beautiful discourse from David. And you know that I'm huge on context. That's why I'm huge on knowing who wrote what psalms. And usually by context, what I mean by that is the circumstances that form the event in the passage of Scripture. What's going on? What's the backstory? Where are they from? Where are they? What's been said? What's going to be said? The big picture, the moral of the story. I don't believe that we should cherry pick scriptures and just take them, and I'm just going to talk about this one scripture because it hammers my point home, but I believe that context is huge. But I've been noticing something as late. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable, right? We know that through Paul's writing to Timothy. But there is a different context in which each scripture is written. And what I mean by that, there's God speaking to man. We talked about that kind of scripture on Sunday morning. In the book of Psalms, it says, be still and know that I am God. That's God talking to man, inviting man to know him. Okay, so we have tons of scriptures like that. We also have scriptures where there's man speaking to God. It's prayers, people talking to God. Somebody wrote a whole book on the prayer of Jabez, of this guy. He prayed this simple prayer to God to receive blessing, and he received blessing because of this prayer that he prayed. So we have God speaking to man. We have man speaking to God. We have God speaking to man through a man. That's called prophecy, where he would send prophets to the people of Israel. He still uses prophets today. There's men speaking to men, right? Just conversations, talking. So we have all kinds of different contexts, but then there's an interesting one that we have right here in Psalm 103, and that's when a man speaks to himself. That's what David's doing. David's not saying, Brother Jim, bless the Lord with all your soul. He's not saying, Pastor Tanner, you better bless God. Because you see, it's very easy to tell somebody else to bless God. You know, when they're going through a trial, they're going through a difficult time, it's real easy to go, hey, well, you know, you need to worship in the midst of that trial. You need to be faithful to God in the midst of that trial. But David chose to look in the mirror and said, soul, you better bless God. You, David, you need to honor God. You need to lift him up. Don't forget who he is. Don't forget what he's done. Don't forget what he has led you out of and what he has done for your life. And so this is a passage where David is literally talking to himself. Now, when we talk about talking to ourselves, there's like normal talking to yourself and there's crazy talking to yourself, right? There's like, oh, I don't need to forget this and I don't need to forget that. You're kind of making a checklist. And then there's like, I went to Foodland today and there was a young man who was taking the buggies and he was rapping to himself. himself. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, it was a little, it was kind of an odd place to have a rap battle with yourself. But that's fine. That's everybody, you know, people can do that. But then there's like crazy, crazy talking to yourself, you know, where there's wild hand gestures and everybody's like, okay, that guy is either on something or needs to be on something or something, right? There's crazy, crazy. But David is not just talking to himself like that. He's talking to his spirit. He's talking to his soul. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's literally speaking to the depth of who he is. He's not just talking to like the external things of life. He's saying, self, you will bless the Lord. I'm not giving you an out on this. I'm not giving you a choice. I'm declaring right now, you're going to honor God. Look at all that he's done for you. Look at who he is. Consider his ways. Realize he's the one. It's not you, David. He's the one that's forgiven all your iniquities. It's not because you're that great. He's the one that's healed all your diseases. It's not because you are so spiritual or you're so great or you're so healthy. No, it's because of God. David, you know what he's doing? And this is the reason that all scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable for our life, is even though this is David speaking to himself, we get a glimpse into it. We get to learn from it. David's giving us a key right here. He's giving us a key to unlock harmony with God. That we would not just tell other people to bless God. We wouldn't just let other people tell us. You see, sometimes we don't worship until the worship leader tells us to put our hands up. We don't worship until the worship leader says, come on, give God a praise, and then we'll praise. David said, I don't need a cheerleader. He said, I don't need somebody else to pump me up. He said, I will look in the mirror and tell myself, you better bless God because of how good he is and how great he is. He's giving us a key to overcome apathy. I don't know about you, but I've battled apathy in my life over and over again. We all go through seasons and times where we know that we should give God praise. We know that we should honor God. We know that we should worship him. We know we should be obedient to him. We know we should spend time with him, but we just don't feel like it. And so David says, here's the key to overcoming apathy. Speak to your soul and say, you don't have an option, soul. You're gonna bless God. Some people need to stop letting their soul command them and start commanding their soul. You see, sometimes you'd be like, well, I don't feel like it. What you say in that moment is this, I may not feel like it, but I will not be led by my feelings. But I will lead my feelings to give honor to God. Give glory to him, to the one that saved me, the one who redeemed me, sanctified me, healed me, blessed me. So sometimes your soul might be screaming anxiety. Your soul, you might wake up in the middle of the night overcome with fear, overcome with worry, overcome with burdens that honestly you can't face on your own. Worry, doubt, depression, anger, cynicism, greed, apathy, hatred, laziness, and your soul is just screaming these things. And a lot of times we just go right along with our soul. Yeah. I guess this is what I'm feeling. God, I'm struggling so much. David said, enough is enough, soul. You're going to bless God. Good. You're not going to lead me, but I'm going to lead you. You take authority that you have as a child of God and tell yourself, we're praising. Yeah. We're worshiping. We're not going to let the rocks cry out. Because that's what Jesus said. They said, stop him. Stop them from praising you. He said, if these don't cry out, guess what? The rocks will, because somebody's got to give me some praise. And so we declare in my soul, guess what? I'm not going to let a rock. There's an old song. Ain't going to let no rock out praise me. Ain't going to let it sing in my place. We decide, I'm not going to let a rock take the praise that's supposed to be upon my lips. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to move my feet. I'm going to give God glory. It's not about it looking pretty. It's not about being cool. If there's one thing I wish that the American church would lose, is it's our dignity. You know what David said? When Michael, his wife, she made fun of him for how he danced for the Lord, he said, I'll become even more undignified than this. We're so dignified that we are stuck. I'll be gut level honest with y'all. I came away from church on Sunday morning a little bit disturbed because of the apathy that I felt in the room. I'm not rebuking you. I'm not trying to be mean. But the the worship team was doing their very best to lead us into the presence of God, and it felt like people looked at it and were like, eh, I don't want it. I'm all right. I'd rather keep my hands in my pockets. I'd rather keep my dignity. I'm too tired. When are we going to talk about how God's going to bless us again? David said, I'm not worried about what everybody... In fact, that's what Michael said. She said, she mocked him. She said, how great is the King of Israel today? All the maidens are seeing you. He said, basically, in essence, he's saying, I don't really care what anybody thinks because I wasn't dancing for them. I was dancing for God. And so he says, bless. Let's talk about that word bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That word bless is the Hebrew word barak. Everybody say barak. Now you know some Hebrew. It means very simply to kneel. It's an act of admiration. So he commands his soul to kneel before God. You know, as a parent, there's a lot of parents in here. There's some that are not. Hopefully one day God blesses you with children, you get to be a parent. But as a parent, sometimes you have to prompt your children to address their elders. You ever have to do that, Pastor Jeff? Like, say hello to your grandfather, you know. Say hello to this stranger, you know. And we put kids in the most precarious situation. Somebody that we know from 30 years ago, and they come up and they start talking, and we're like, say hello to this weird stranger that you've never seen before, you know. Lift your eyes up, look at him, give him a hug. There, give him a hug. We put kids in real awkward situations. But sometimes we do, sometimes it's right to do it. We have to prompt our children, you know, look at them in the eye. Tell them thank you. Say yes, sir, you know. This is what David's doing essentially to his soul. Yeah. He's prompting his soul to do the right thing. Yeah. And sometimes we give ourselves a justification on doing the right thing simply because I don't feel like it. If your child didn't feel like it, you wouldn't be like, oh, okay. You don't feel like it? You want to be a jerk? Go ahead, be a jerk, right? No, you'd be like, no, you are going to be respectful to your elders, right? Well, God is the most deserving being of respect on the earth, and sometimes we just don't feel like it. So David said, you get on your knees, and you show him the admiration that he deserves, whether you feel like it or not. He's saying, you're not going to go without admiring God today. You're not going to get a pass. You're not going to get a day off. You're going to address him with respect, and you're going to show him the honor that he deserves. But we live lives that are, and I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you, we live lives that are so focused on ourselves that we just let ourselves lead ourselves. We let life lead us instead of leading ourselves. So we need to choose. I'm taking authority over my feelings. I'm taking authority over my soul. And I'm choosing to tell it, you're going to kneel before your maker. You're going to bow before him in admiration. You're going to worship him. No one automatically assumes the position of humility. It's something that your flesh is going to fight. No one wakes up and is like, I just want to be humble. I just love being humble. You know how you get to that point? I'm not saying you can't get there. You get there by denying yourself and choosing, I will humble myself before God. Every single day. It has to be intentionally sought after. You won't find yourself on your knees and wonder, how'd I get here? Right? No, you have to make the decision. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to bow down. Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knees before God. And then he begins to tell the people of God how he prayed for them. But even Paul, the greatest apostle of all time, bowed his knees before God. Took the position of humility. Jesus got on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet. He got on his knees in the garden. In fact, he went so low as he fell on his face when he prayed to the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so David said, kneel before the Lord, O my soul. Kneeling expresses humility of self and honor towards another. There's no, like if someone came down and they knelt at your feet, there's no other way to decipher that or to see that other than they're trying to show honor, right? Like we wouldn't look at that and be like, oh, they're trying to fight me, right now from getting on their knees. No, it's an expression of I'm kneeling before you because you're greater than I am. And so that's what David is saying. So you have to bow to him. Why? Because he's greater. In fact, the Bible says one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So shouldn't we do that out of willingness? Because one day everybody's going to do it whether they like it or not. I want to bow before I'm made to bow because my soul says I'm going to bow before the Lord. So he says, bless, bow before the Lord, O my soul. That word soul is the Hebrew word nephesh. And it literally means this, a soul, a living being, life, self, person, desire, passion, appetite, and emotion. So here's what David is saying. I am commanding myself, my person, my desires, my passions, my appetites, my emotions to kneel to Yahweh, to make him greater. Some people can't keep their emotions in check. You know why? Because they're not commanding their soul to bow to God. Some people can't keep their appetite in check, whether that is with food or whether that is with entertainment or whether that is with pornography or whether that's with, you know, a hobby. They can't, they're eat up with stuff that they probably shouldn't be consumed with because somewhere they didn't say, my soul, my appetite bows to God. What I want, and it goes back to what I was talking about Sunday. So often we want God to be God of the earth, but we don't want him to be God of our life. That's where most Christians live. They want God to be God of America because they want a safe America. They want a blessed America. They want a Republican America, but they don't really want God to be God of their life. They don't really want him to tell them what to do. But David said, my emotions, my feelings, my soul, my desires, my appetite, I'm going to make them bow before God because if I don't, they're going to rule my life. They're going to be the God instead of me. So take a cue from David. Command your soul to kneel before the Lord. And then he goes a step further. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he says, in all that is within me, bless his holy name. Meaning not just my soul. What does this mean? But the things that even come out of my soul. My thoughts, my efforts, my affections, my hopes and my dreams, my words. Let it all bless your holy name. In Psalm 19, David spoke to the Lord in verse 14 and he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What that means is what comes out of me, what's in me, let it all be for your glory. Let it all be for your honor, his holy name. You know, see, for us, when he says, in all that is within me, bless his holy name. For us, in our culture, a name is just what we answer to. You know, Reuben Dale, Brandon Berninger, Shane Cloud, Spencer. You call, if I was in the middle of Walmart and someone yells Spencer, I'm going to turn around. Why? Because that's my name, right? I'm going to answer to it. But in Jewish culture, your name was so much more than just what you were called by. It meant something. And so when he says, let all that is within me bless his holy name, their names were tied to their character and the very nature of their being. So he's not just saying, bless a name that you're called, just some random name. He's saying, bless your character. I let everything that's within me bless who you are. That's why names are so important. Names are so important to God that when somebody was serving him, he would change their name from one thing to another. Abram, when he first calls Abram, he's just Abram. That word, that name Abram means exalted father. But you know what Abraham means? Father of multitudes. See, Abram was an exalted father when he became a father, but God had promised him, you're going to be the father of many nations. And so God changed his name to match who he was. Same with Peter. Peter was originally Simon. But when Jesus said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. In fact, what he said, you are Petros, and on this Petra I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what he was doing? He was signifying that Peter would be a foundational block in the church of Jesus Christ, which on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, it was Peter that stood up and preached the gospel to people. And he was part of the foundation that Jesus laid in the original apostles. And so he was speaking, he was changing his name from just being Simon to being Peter because it lined up with who he was. And so when David says, bless his holy name, he's not just speaking the name Yahweh, because that's the name that's used in this passage of scripture. But he's saying, let all that is within me bless your nature, bless your character, the power that you possess, the essence of who you are. You see, when you praise and when you worship, if you really want to see a shift in your praise and worship, and I want to see a shift in our praise and worship here, don't just sing the words on the screen. Think about who he is. When we sing, you know, songs tonight that say he will never fail, don't just go, why are they going fail? Go, I literally serve a God who doesn't know how to fail. It'll mean so much more. You may not even, listen, you may not like the songs I choose to sing. You may not like the songs Pastor Jeff chooses to sing. But if they're about God, it doesn't matter what they sound like. What matters is, does it reflect his nature and his character? And if it does, then I'm going to sing it to him, and I'm going to mean it, and I'm going to think about that characteristic of God. And trust me, worship becomes so much more real when you realize that you are singing to and about God. You're not just singing songs that somebody at a big church in Charlotte or California or Dallas wrote. You're singing songs that line up with the very nature and character of God. So don't just sing words. Don't just utter phrases. Consider his nature and his character. Think about his unchanging nature. Think about his power. Think about his love. Think about his grace. Think about his merciful compassions that fail not. Dwell upon his immeasurable power and his incorruptible nature of who he is. Bless who he is. You know, he's not a man that he should lie. The Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. That means he's on the clock all the time, watching out for us, protecting us, ruling over the world. Nothing is impossible with him. So when we bless God, we're to bless his nature, the one true God. In fact, that's what David said. He said, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within him, bless his holy name. Let's talk about the name Yahweh for a moment. There's many names of God, and rightfully there should be, because they describe the vast character of who he is, and we don't even know the fullness of who God is, and I don't believe that we will be able to until we get to heaven one day and we get to lay our eyes upon him. And even then, we probably won't, because he's just that much bigger and greater than we are. But the name Yahweh was the name that signified he is the one true God. So there are countless gods, but there's only one Yahweh. There's many gods that people have made. You can make anything a god. You can make church a god. Anything that you serve, you can call anything. You could go home tonight and get the can opener from under the sink and put it on the shelf and say, this is my God. That'd be really weird, but you could do it. But there is nothing and there is no one that will ever compare to Yahweh, the one true God. So he's the only one that created heaven and earth. He's the only one that made man out of dirt and invites him to know him. He's the only one that holds all dominion and all power. He's the only one that sent his son to redeem us from our sin. He's the only one. That's what set the Hebrews apart from other nations, is they all believed in multiple gods, where the Jews were monotheistic and they believed in the one true God. And so when David uses this, he says, bless my soul, bless the one true God. Oh, my soul, don't let anything else be God in your life. So even when I don't feel like it, I'll tell myself, kneel down. Why? Because he's the only God of heaven and of earth. He's the only one that is able to heal me, to save me, to deliver me. There's no one like him. There's no one beside him. So like David, let's choose to command our soul. Don't let your soul command you, because listen, if you let your heart and your soul and your mind and your emotions lead you, you're not going to end up in the will of God. The only way to end up in the will of God is to listen to the will of God and to command yourself, I'm following him. Yeah. Don't let your circumstances lead you. Don't let your emotions lead you. Command your soul and say, soul, you are going to bless God. But don't just sit here and think, well, because Pastor Spencer said that, then I'll do that. No, you take personal responsibility and you speak to yourself. Yourself needs to hear yourself. In fact, today when I was studying, I came here this morning and I was spending time with the Lord. I was in the deacon office. That's if you go in that hallway to go back to the fellowship hall, it's the first door on the right. And I was sitting in there and I was studying this, and all of a sudden I just said out loud, soul, bless the Lord. About that time I heard the front door open. I was like, they're going to just really think I'm crazy. And thankfully I knew it was someone with a key so they wouldn't think I was too crazy, because anybody with a key would kind of understand if they heard that, right? And it was Pastor Bonnie. And she opened the door. I said, don't let me scare you. It's me in here. And she said, oh, I saw your truck. It's all good. But we need to take that authority and you need to speak to your soul. Listen, David wasn't crazy when he did this. And we read this and we love this passage of scripture. We go, oh, that's so nice. That's so cute. No, David was literally commanding his soul to bless God and to honor him. So decide, I'm not going to bow my knee to anything other than God. I've been thinking a lot this week about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We call him Abednego. His name was Abednego. Go read it. They wouldn't bend their knee. They wouldn't bow to the golden idol. You know what else they wouldn't do? They wouldn't burn. They wouldn't. There's an old gospel song. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. I got a song for everything. I could talk to y'all in song lyrics. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. I could preach a whole sermon in song lyrics. But I'm not going to try to do that sometime. Actually, exaggeration. I probably couldn't preach a whole sermon. I could preach a short one. But I couldn't do the whole one. Let's just stick to the scripture. But they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn, because you know why? They believed in Yahweh, one true God. It would have been easy to go, well, he can still be God and this be God. That way we don't get thrown in the furnace. That way we don't get ostracized. That way we don't get persecuted. They said, no. There's nothing that you can tell us that will make us bend our knees. And they said, all right, we're going to throw you in the furnace. They said, and King Nebuchadnezzar asked them, literally, imagine the highest governing official on the earth commanding you to do something and you saying, as most likely a teenager, no, I won't do it. Okay, well, we're going to throw you in the furnace. And they said, we don't even have to answer you concerning this matter, because we know that God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we still won't. Because their belief in the fact that he was the one true God was so strong that they wouldn't let anything change their course or make them think otherwise. So you know the story. They threw him in the fiery furnace and Jesus shows up. They didn't burn. They brought him back out of the furnace. I'm telling you, he's the same God today. He's the same Yahweh right now that he was for those Hebrew boys that said, you know what? I'm not going to bow to anything. I'm not going to bow to depression. You see, sometimes we would be like, oh, I wouldn't bow to a golden idol, but then we'll bow to our own emotions, our own feelings. And we think, oh, it's just not that big of a deal. It's just depression. No, we only bow to the one true God. Whether that's in our heart or whether that's with our knees. Sometimes we're standing, you know the old, I may be sitting down on the inside, outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Sometimes we're standing on the outside, but on the inside, we're already bowing to other things. Our heart is bowed low to the kingdoms of this world or to whatever it may be. So be a person that says, my soul, my mind, my feeling, my emotions, my desires, my appetite, myself, I'm going to bless God. I'm going to admire him and him only, because only he is Yahweh. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Father, I pray that we would be people that are steadfast, immovable, even in the face of adversity, in the face of persecution, in the face of torment, in the face of fear, in the face of worry, in the face of lies or temptation, God, whatever it may be, we want to stand for you because we bow before you. We honor you. We admire you. And God, I pray that you would help your people to take command over our soul, to not let our appetite and our desires lead us. In fact, the Bible says you are enticed by your own desires. But God, I thank you that when we bow ourselves to you, you give us new desires. You give us a new heart. You give us clean hands and a pure heart. And so I thank you that you have already given us all things that pertain both to life and godliness. And so I pray that you would help us to walk in them. And Lord, anything that we've been bowing to, we renounce it right now in the name of Jesus. In fact, right now, if the Holy Spirit's putting his finger saying, you've been bowing to this at work, you've been bowing to this at home, you choose right now. No, I bow my knee. I renounce those things right now. And I bow my knee before Yahweh, the one true God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one that redeemed my soul from the pit, the one that forgave me of all my iniquities. And so, Father, we say that we bow ourselves before you and you alone. Nothing and no one will be able to compete with the Lord our God, because only you are worthy of all of our praise. So we renounce the things that we've been bowing to, and we say to our soul right now, in fact, you can do it right there at your seat. Just say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, my thoughts, my words, my feelings, bless his holy name, bless his character. He is God. It's not we who made us, it's him. He's good, he's kind, he's faithful, and he's true. And we look to you tonight, Yahweh, the one true God. No one is like you, no one can compete with you. You reign immortal and invisible. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, because God is on our side. We look to you tonight, and we thank you for your faithfulness and for your favor. And forgive us for being selfish. Forgive us for being sidetracked. And help us to keep our eyes upon you. And we say, God, we don't want you just to be God of America. We want you to be God of our life. Lead and guide us in every aspect. And I pray that you would stir up hunger in this house, desire to worship you because of who you are, to praise you, not based upon what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've felt, where we've been, but God, simply based upon the glory that you possess and how great and awesome you are. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you bless the Lord in your soul. And may you command yourself to give God the glory that is due to his name. And may your knee not bend to anything other than Yahweh, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you so much. Hope you have an awesome week. We will see you Sunday morning.